figure everything God, be God. How many know that God is able to be God in your life? God is able to do things and through you that you'll be amazed and marvel at. And today, as I did last week, I came, so to speak, some would say, well, you're unprepared, Pastor. Well, yes, you could call me unprepared. But I have been praying, I've been seeking the Lord, I've been spending time in His presence, I've been worshiping, been reading the Word, and none of the stuff that I've been reading this week or praying about is what I'm supposed to share about. But, you know, God is faithful, and He has something for each and every one of us today. He does. Maybe this message isn't the one that's going to just hit home with you, strike right at your heart, and bring you to a place of total fullness in God. But maybe it's going to be a seed to take you to the next level. But for someone, maybe a few of you, this word is designed to set you free today. This word is designed from heaven for you today. The service has been constructed and designed from heaven so that you could be reached, so that you could gain an understanding of what God's basically power is in your life. So many of us are ignorant of God's power. So many of us are ignorant of who God is and His glory and His majesty and His splendor and just the awesomeness of Him. That every now and then He needs to break through the dullness of our spirit and the dullness of our senses and wake us up. And I believe He wants to wake some of us up today because He has something for us to do. Yes, He wants to set us free. Yes, He wants to make us people that can be fully in love with Him and have relationship with Him. But in setting us free, He gives us assignment. He gives us a mission, so to speak. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when He had come out of the boat, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. I think this is significant. He's coming out of the tombs. Tombs represents death. Tombs represents decay. Tomb represents that rot. And I believe there's some folks here today that are experiencing decay, rot. You feel like you're dead. You feel like there's no hope. You feel like where you've gone and where you've been has been just all for naught. But I'm here to tell you that even this demoniac, this person who was demon-possessed with 1,000 demons, it sounds like, legions, had a destiny. And maybe up to this point of his life, the destiny was never seen. Maybe up to this point of his life, he had never experienced even one bit of revelation from the kingdom of God or the word of God that had given him hope for a future. But Jesus come on the scene. Somebody say, but Jesus. See, that's the whole thing. I don't care what your life's been like. I don't care what you've experienced. I don't care who you've been in the past. But Jesus. You think that was any accident that he was coming to that shore that day? That was no accident. That was designed by God, just as this entire day has been designed by God. From the worship to the words to the word right now. Come out of your dead place. Who had his dwelling among the tombs and had no one, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. They even tried to bind him with chains. And these were people that were trying to protect themselves from this demon-possessed man because it sounded like he did damage. I think some of us, because of the state that we're in, have been doing nothing but damage. Have been doing things because of the forces that are inside of us that hurt people and hurt others and cause misery in their life. And maybe someone or many have tried to chain you up. Maybe they've tried to shut you up. Maybe they've tried to put you away. Maybe some have actually pushed you away and separated themselves from you in relationship because of the state that you're in, to protect themselves. It says, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. Wow, this is a desperate individual. This is somebody that is experiencing torment right here. This is somebody that literally has these chains placed on them, but can break them off even in their own strength with these demonic forces. Get the picture here. This is somebody that needs Jesus. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. I know that that's one of the signs of desperation in people's lives when they're coming to the very end, just before they probably commit suicide. They start cutting themselves because they want to feel something. I believe this man was so demon-possessed, so distraught in his being, that he was even cutting himself to feel real life. I don't know, maybe there's someone here today that has experienced that, where you've cut yourself so you can feel something. There is a devil out there who does not care how hurt he makes us. Matter of fact, he glories in our torment. Picture that. He glories in our torment. He rejoices over our torment. He loves it. As God loves to bless us, as he loves to lavish his love on us, the devil enjoys just likewise to bring torture and torment into our life. That's what brings him his fulfillment. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." And he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission that the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. There were about 2,000 of them. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So what did Jesus do here? He dealt with the issue, and he broke the chains, now the spiritual chains, of the demonic powers off of his life. And he was now sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. But Jesus, this man's life had now reached a crossroads, and he was given a new path to walk. He was given a new place to set his feet. Hold your spot right there. I'm going to turn to another scripture. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life." That's what he just did for that man. He showed him the path of life. And he brought him the ability to walk that path. Some of you have been shown that path of life many times, but you haven't walked it yet. You haven't said, okay, God, I give it all to you. I set this hurt and this pain aside. Or maybe you're to say, God, I need to be delivered here because I want to serve you, but I'm so bound by the enemy that I can't even lift my hands to praise you. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, when he shows us that path, we're then in his presence. That word presence means like face. We're in his very face space. And there's joy in that place. And I believe that's what this demon-possessed man was experiencing, was joy in his heart all of a sudden. Because listen what happened to him. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him and had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart their region. And when he had got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Begged him that he might be with him. There's something that happens to you when you experience the presence of God. That joy is so strong, so overwhelming. It overtakes you. It overcomes you. And this demon-possessed man is going like, oh, Jesus, I just want to be with you. I just want to stay with you. I want to go where you go. I want to do what you do. I just want to hang with you, Jesus, because your presence is joy like I've never experienced. Can you imagine what he went from? He went from being one who lived in the tombs of deadness and rotten decay to a joy that filled his heart, and he wasn't the same. Now, this is interesting. How many would just love to live here at church? Just worship God. Just smile at each other. Say, isn't it just good being godly and loving each other? And when we're here, we're not doing anything bad, Most, hopefully. Not saying anything bad about others. Hopefully. Probably the most righteous time of our week. I'm somewhat humorous there. But there is something about being in his presence. There's something about hanging with Jesus. You just want to do it. I mean, I'm sure if I asked some, how many would just like to go and be like right in heaven right now and just, forget all this noise? Many of us would say, thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. But this demon-possessed man had a destiny. And you could say, well, he hadn't been fulfilling his destiny up to this point. Wrong. See, that's the beauty of our life. It does not matter what we've had in our past to, I guess you could say, totally affect our future. But we have had our past so that God can take our past then and make it something for our future. It doesn't mean that our past has to determine our future, but it means that our past will be God's work in the future. The things that we go through, the tests that we go through that give us our testimony have been, I believe, a gift from God. Now, not all of us look at them as gifts from God, but I bet this demon-possessed man all of a sudden realized that those years of torment, those years of death, those years of rotten decay were not for nothing. The devil wants you to think that what you're in right now is for nothing, and that is a lie from the pit of hell, because it can be used for the glory of God. However, Jesus did not permit him. What? Jesus is not going to let him go with him? But he said to him, Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. That's what it's about. We get set free. The chains fall off so that we can go and tell others about the one who broke the chains, about the one who took this, what seemed to be an insignificant past, and made it worth something for today and for my future now. We will overcome. We will overcome. If that demon-possessed man could be here to say, he would say, you will overcome. And you, he would say, you will not even believe how much you will overcome. Because he experienced the overcoming power of Jesus Christ. Just one word spoken. In Matthew, all that Jesus is recorded of saying is, go. That's all he needs to say in some of your life, is go. But you have to give him permission to say go. You have to give him permission to say, my child, you're free. You have to give him permission to say, be made whole. He won't force himself on you. He will do everything in his power, including order a service to speak to you. But he will not force himself on you. Sometimes I wish he would. There's people in my life that I wish he would literally force himself on them. He does not do it that way. And just as he won't force himself on someone to save them, he won't force himself on you to establish you in your destiny. He won't force you to even be broken from your chains. You have to decide. You have a choice. Now, I want honesty this morning. Because I tell you what, I'm trying to be as honest as I can. I'm not trying to be phony. I'm not trying to be presumptuous. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. If anything, I'm standing out on a limb, and I will be from now on every single Sunday, to tell you, you can. To tell you, if he can put words in my mouth, if I open my mouth, he can put a heart in you that can chase after him. He can put a heart in you that can be totally sold out for God, that even when the enemy comes, you don't even listen to him. But you got to want it. You got to be so sick and tired of being sick and tired. You got to be so sick and tired of being in that tomb where rot and decay and no future is, that you're willing to run to Jesus and worship at his feet, even if it's forcing the demons to bow with you. So we're going to sing a song one more time. And if this service has been designed for you, and you know it, you know that God is knocking on your door, ringing your doorbell, pulling on your pant leg, whatever he does to get your attention. For some, he'll use a slap in the face if he has to. Wake us up. But he's doing this all because he loves you. And he loves me. And he wants us to be whole. He wanted that demoniac to be whole. And he was. To the place where he went to the towns. Oh, let me finish here, so we can all rejoice with him. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis and all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. I believe you have been in misery, torment, frustration, anxiety. Maybe life has dealt you every single bad hand. You've never won. So that what God can do now people will marvel. People will say, that's not the I used to know. Or they never seemed to have that kind of joy. Can you imagine his family when he came walking back into his town? They probably ran at first. Oh, he's out. But then they saw his eyes. They were no longer black. They had the life of God in them. You can tell it in people's eyes when they've touched heaven. The fogginess is left. The clarity comes. The intent to follow after Christ is there. It's because they've been born again. They've received the gift of eternal life from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. I'm just going to ask you to come up as we sing this song if you're ready to be set free. If you're tired of being sick and tired and truly meaning it, then come up. Thank you, God.
Seated above.
Yes, God.
Enthroned in the Father's love. Destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. Never sinned, suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. Every victory is yours. Savior,
yes,
worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise.
You overcame, yes, God.
Awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame,
Jesus. Come on,
power. Speaking the Father's
plans. Thank you, God. God, I just pray right now, God. Break every chain now, in Jesus' name. Break every chain off my brother right now.
All authority, every victory is yours. Don't is testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
I need not all my
is in the hands of the maker of heaven. And I need not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the maker of heaven. And I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make some Jesus, no place I'd rather be. no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. So set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain that, I can't control. And I want more of you, God. And I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain that, I can't control. I want more of you, God. And I want more of you. Thank you.
God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Lord, we thank you for your chain-breaking power, God, that you've released in these lives today, God. Lord, that you have set, Lord, your children free. God, that you have made a way, Lord, where there seemed to be no way. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, are going to now order their steps. You're now going to guide and direct them, Lord, into all the truth you have for their lives. Lord, I pray that your word, God, would become their standard. Lord, your word, God, would become, Lord, their flagship that they run under, God, that they keep you, Lord, in front of them, Lord, through your word, God. Lord, I pray that they would continue to experience your joy, God, in your presence. They continue to experience the delight of God in their lives, Lord. God, do not let this day be an isolated event. Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue, Lord, to pour out on them. Let them be changed and transformed from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for those, God, who didn't come up, God, but you even touched them in their seats, God. Let their life, God, never be the same. Lord, I proclaim, God, I declare, God, that your people will be transformed. Your people will change into who you've called them to be. Lord, that no work of the enemy will be able to hold them back. No lie of the enemy will be able to deceive them out of their birthright and their inheritance. God, you will have your way in your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to leave you with one thought. I want you to pray over this week. I believe this is where the Lord wants us to go as a body of believers. This is in 1 Corinthians 14:23. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you're out of your mind? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever, an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. How is it then, brethren, or how should it be done? Whenever you come together, each one has a song, has a teaching. You could say each one has a teaching. Each of you has a teaching. Each has a tongue. Each has a revelation. Each has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. I believe we're coming into a day, and we're in this day, where God wants to speak through you. Maybe in a song. Maybe in a testimony, what God did that week. Maybe in the teaching for that day. Some would say, oh, God forbid. No, not God forbid. God enable. God equip. Don't look at who you are. Look at who he is. If I looked at who I was, I would not be doing this. But in him, I'm able to do above and beyond anything I've ever thought or imagined. Because of his empowerment. Not because I'm something great. Because I'm so eloquently gifted in speaking. That's not the case. Those who know me and talk to me one-on-one say, whoa, man, he's not of many words. No, I'm not. But under the anointing, as you can be, you will be able to speak. You will be able to teach. You will be able to sing. Because we will not go to where God wants us to go and be who God wants us to be until every part of the body is active. And that's what God's calling us to. So I want you to pray about this week and say, Lord, what is my part? And maybe, yes, maybe your part is to just give somebody a hug when they come in right now and love on them and let them know that you're glad that they're there. Let them know that God loves them. this week. Maybe it was this week. But next week you may have the word. Let's let God be God. And every other lie of man, let it stay lies. See, God's word is true. If we open our mouth wide, he will fill it. If you open your mouth wide, he will fill it. And I don't care if you've been sitting there for years and you haven't said a whole lot, Phyllis, it may be your week. Age is not a disqualifier. Being used previous is not a disqualifier. If anything, it should be, you know that he can equip you and he can give you the words to speak. There's probably times you felt a little flutter and I don't know if it's right. Don't say, I don't know if it's right. Let's see what God will do with that word. Maybe it's just a couple of words. Maybe it's just a little unction that sets the flame of God in this place. And then someone else who had no courage at all because of your little step of courage now has some courage. We cannot afford to let the fear of man, the fear of what if, the fear of if I fall on my face, stop us anymore. Because if we do, we will not be who we're called to be. And if we're not who we're called to be, there will be many that will lose out on God's grace and love in their lives. God loves you, yes. But remember, he loves the lost one just as much. And he wants them to experience all of his love just like he's giving you. So Lord, we lift, God, our hearts to you right now, Lord. And we know, God, that you're calling us to uncomfortability. I'll use that word. It's not a word. I'll use it enough. And it will become a word. I guarantee it'll be in the dictionary. Uncomfortability, Lord. We know, God, that you're calling us to go out beyond our comfort zones. You're calling us, Lord, to be something we've never been before. Lord, but your hand is with us. Lord, just as you were with the Israelites when you parted the Red Sea and you made a way where there was no way, God, I believe you're going to make ways in our lives, Lord, with empowerment, with grace, with confidence even, Lord, that you're going to be able to make us to be the church you've called us to be, where everyone has a song, everyone has a word, everyone has a teaching. Maybe not all the same day, but God, you use all of us. We're all a mouthpiece of God. It's not just my place, Lord, because we're all your people. We're all called with a great call. And Lord, you want us to be bold, Lord, here, so we can also be bold out there. We thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, God, for every life that's been touched. And I know, Lord, that they will not be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord.